Hello, dear friends. Welcome back, and apologies for the small delay. Let us begin with the invocation. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the messenger, the spirit of guidance. Amen. Let us concentrate on our breath. Let us surrender to our breath as it is manifested right here, right now. As we are connected with our breath, let us not forget that we are connected with each other towards the One. And with this feeling of connection, let us see what this hour will bring. Amen. What a journey this has been these few days. We started with the awareness of today's challenges. And how we can practically take care of ourselves. We continued with breath practices that can sharpen our awareness of our inner state. We explored how we can combine the practical with the divine through our prayers. We discussed sacred aspects of the healing service. And we had the healing service. We explored the issue of anger, and this is a subject that is not very frequently discussed. We had some grounding practices. and an inquiry that took us into an inner journey into our hearts. And all these, along with beautiful acumens, and all these with the support and the help from Nori and the translators. Truly a community of diverse souls towards the one. So what is left to say? Maybe some clarifications. So let us begin with the story. Once upon a time, somewhere in the world, there was a father and a son. The son had a very hot temper. So the father had an idea. He said to the son, "Why don't you pin a nail on the wall every time you feel angry?" So he showed him a wall and he said, "Okay, pin a nail on the wall each time you feel angry." "Okay, Dad, I'll do that." Soon enough, the wall was full of nails. The son goes to the father. "Father, thank you. That was a very good advice. I don't feel angry anymore. This feels so good." "Great," said the father. "Since you feel so great, why don't you unpin the nails from the wall?" "See how that feels." "Yes, Dad, I'll do that." That took the son a bit longer to manage. But he finally managed to unpin the nails from the wall. So the son goes to the father. Dad, I did it. Thank you so much. That was such a good advice." "I feel so nice now." "Great," said the father. "Take a look at the wall now. Let us take a look at the wall. Let us take a look at the person who receives the anger. Mushit has said many things about anger. He said, man must realize he has a power in him which is greater than all other powers. This power is his will. Should this power work with the consent of wisdom, everything would become allowable. Anger, calmness, war, fighting, peace, love, hate. For instance, he says, there is a time when anger helps. And there is a time where peace helps. We have to understand the rhythm. In general, spiritual traditions are demonizing anger in many ways. Some ways are overt and some others are covert. Some ways in which they demonize anger are overt. They are shown. And some spiritual traditions are straightforwardly renouncing anger. Some are more lenient. Keep in mind that there are many spiritual traditions and we Sufis are open to them. So as we said, anger in itself is not bad. But we often identify the emotion of anger. With various expressions of anger. So one thing is the fact that we feel anger. And what triggered the anger that we feel. And it is quite another how we express the anger. We can express anger in a very productive way. Usually verbally in the form of a dialogue. It is highly recommended. But there are other expressions of anger. Aggression. Hostility. Violence. And let's clarify a few concepts because it's important for us to understand. So when we say aggression, we refer to physical and verbal and or verbal behaviors that intend to hurt another. Aggression has two forms: hostile aggression and instrumental aggression. So in hostile aggression, you are motivated by anger and you intend to cause pain. While instrumental aggression is motivated by achieving a goal. And does not necessarily involve the intent to cause pain. We see that in certain sports. Hostility is a form of anger. It is a persistent, intense anger. Which is accompanied by an intense urge to retaliate. It is a form of aggressive anger. And of course, violence is an extreme form of aggression. An extreme demonstration of hostility. So in case you haven't understood already, I'm talking about the manifestation of anger within a spectrum of behaviors that move from maltreatment to outright abuse. I'm talking about the people who are the recipients of such types of behavior. I'm talking about the victims of abuse. So, how do people feel when they are the recipients of plain, simple anger? Usually they feel it is unjustified, whether it is unjustified or whether it is justified. Usually they feel defensive. They might get off balance and the other respond with anger or fear. They go into an inner place in childhood where they feel small and helpless. And what about if they deserve to be the recipients of anger, if they've done something really bad? Will they feel remorse, guilt, or will they become defensive? And how does the recipient of a hostile or a violent expression of anger feel? This is even more difficult to handle. And what will they do? Will they try to open up a dialogue? Will they try to retaliate? Will they try to forgive and forget? Will they try to walk away? Will they try to swallow the anger and keep it inside? Until it becomes poison in the form. Sorry, Malik. Until it becomes poison in the form of self-loathing. Self-neglect. Resentment. Or passive-aggressive behavior. We know from psychology that when we are threatened, there are four ways in which we defend ourselves. Two of them are more popular, one could say. The famous fight or flight response. Less known responses are the response of fright or freeze, as they call it. When you are so shocked with what is happening that you just freeze and do not react. And for victims of abuse, what is called fawn, F-A-W-N, fawn reaction. Do you know what it is, Malik? This has only been studied lately. maybe we should add another response to threat. The fraud reaction. Where the person is trying to con the aggressor to save themselves. Why am I saying all these? Because we are healers and we deal with pain. And we need to be very, very careful not to misunderstand certain teachings. So when we're asking someone to forgive, or to transform anger into compassion, we must be very careful and think. Think of what we are really asking. From whom, under what circumstances, and for what purpose? This is very serious. So let us keep in mind that according to certain spiritual traditions, one is not morally or spiritually obliged One is not morally or spiritually obliged to forgive a person who has not asked for forgiveness. To forgive the person who does not show any signs of repentance. In fact, forgiving someone who doesn't want to be forgiven in some cases shows spiritual arrogance. One is not morally or spiritually obliged to forgive a person who does apologize, but does not make amends. Amend, corrections. And instead repeats the same behavior again and again and again. how much forgiveness and compassion will you offer? Before you realize that something is rotten in the state of Denmark. My dear Danish friends, I'm not talking about Denmark, I'm talking about Shakespeare's Hamlet. In other words, before you wake up and smell the coffee, as the Americans say. One is morally and spiritually obliged to protect their physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual safety. And the safety of the persons that they are morally, emotionally, and legally obliged to protect. Safety comes first. One is morally and spiritually urged to respect and protect their own dignity and health. Once the person is safe, away from abuse, I repeat, away from abuse, safe, then they can heal . Then they can forgive all they want. Then they can show all the compassion in the world. As healers, we must not push a person to forgive or to be compassionate. When they are not ready or safe enough to do so. As healers, we need to be aware of these things. A healer is called to work with difficult energies. One of the most difficult energies is the one related to anger. Whether it comes from the point of an angry person, or whether it comes from the point of a recipient of anger. And for the healer to be able to maintain balance under those circumstances, they need to be aware of how they relate to their anger. As we discussed yesterday, Moshe said that the best way to know God is to know ourselves. I realize that these clarifications I just made are far from pleasant. It was my firm belief that they were necessary. What is the best way of treating anger then? There are many ways. Of course, compassion, awareness, realization, compassion is one way. Similar to that way is the way of gentleness. Maybe you remember the tale of the 1001 Nights or Arabian Nights. And how Shahrazad tamed the king. Tamed, made. So there was this king who has been cheated by his wife. And he was so angry that he stopped believing all women all together. So each day he would marry a woman. And then he found this very handy solution of killing her. So as not to be cheated again. One could call this practice extreme. But there was the vizier's daughter, Shahrazad, or Safra. Who accepted to marry the king. After all, there were not any women left. And he managed to tame his anger. He managed to heal his wound. Through patience and wisdom. By telling him stories. And each night she would start narrating a fairy tale, a story. But she would not finish the story. So the king was curious and he wouldn't kill her because he wanted to know what's the end of the story. And so 1001 nights passed. I don't know whether you understand how many years this is. It took the king that long to get rid of his anger. Patience and wisdom. We need that in our healing work. So yes, we need to be, first we need to be safe. And then we can work through compassion and kindness. Let's work now with kindness. We will work with the Wazifa Ya Halim. The gentle. The tolerant. So that we can align with the vibrations of tolerance, patience, gentleness, kindness, and wisdom. In this way, we can make room for the other person. And help them soften the hard edges, the rough edges. By the way, we always associate fire with anger. As a parenthesis, may I say in defense of the element of fire, which is often misunderstood and unappreciated. And more often than not, feared. Let me remind you that fire is also the element of passion. Christ was passionate with humans. He was in love with humans. He dedicated his existence to humans. He sacrificed his life for them. And that's another characteristic of fire, dedication. And through hurt, through pain, through suffering, love is transformed into hostility. And it needs a lot of kindness and patience to turn back to love. So, yeah, Halim. And let us begin. Yeah, Halim. Yeah, Halim. Yeah, Halim. Yeah, Halim. Yeah, Halim. Ya Halim. Ya Halim. Ya Halim. Ya Halim. Ya Halim. Ya Halim. Amen. Fikr. Halim on the breath for a few times. Gracias. Amen. So What more is left to say? Let's see. Pushit has talked about five different grades of the evolution of personality. How much time do I have? He says the first grade, let's say, is the person who always makes mistakes. And the only thing he sees in others is their mistakes. And he says that type of person is always unstable, as if he's walking in an unstable way, like always ready to tumble down. And when he falls, he pulls everyone who is near him with him. He finds faults within himself last. All others are wrong. And of course, in this way, the whole world is wrong. The next grade of personality, he says, is the person who starts seeing the wrong in themselves and starts seeing the right in the others. This is a somehow better state. Because he in this way, the person has the opportunity to correct themselves. And he is able to be more fair with other people. Because you cannot be just, you cannot find justice. Unless you're starting finding faults in your own self. The third type is the person who says, what does it matter if you did wrong or I did wrong? What we need to do is to make the wrong right, is to correct the wrong. And in this way, the person themselves develop and they help other people to develop as well. Then there is a fourth type. Where a person sees that in good, there is always a possibility that good becomes bad and bad becomes good. So this person is able to see the faults even in the best person. But they are also able to see the good elements in a person which is called bad. And then there is the fifth type, where a person sees that these opposite ideas, of right and wrong, good and bad, are the two ends of one line. I'm sure we all here would like to be like the fifth type of person. But we are not. Maybe if we reach the third type, that would be an accomplishment. So we need to be humble in our judgment. And we need to be aware that when we want to heal, we will encounter people that are difficult for us. Times like these, it's good to remember the five types of personality evolution. And think about where we are in that scale. One last clarification. Murshid, I think it was in his third or fourth volume, I can't remember. No, fourth volume is healing. Third, I think, volume. He developed the three laws, let's say, of conduct, of how we can behave towards another. He talked about the law of reciprocity. The law of beneficence. To do good. And the law of renunciation. And in the spiritual path, we all want to follow the law of beneficence and, if possible, the law of renunciation. But let's talk a bit about the law of reciprocity. It is the law of give and take. And in many respects, it is the law of balance. And balance is of utmost importance for healing. Balance is always such a delicate thing to achieve. This, Murshid tells us, is a practical law. A law based on common sense. Very simple. Very businesslike. The idea, he says, of this law is the main idea of this law is you may not take from me more than you could give me. I will not give you more than I could take from you. You love me, I can love you. You hate me, I can hate you back. So it's a give and take law. It's based on justice. On practicality. The danger of this law, says Murshid, is that we very often value what we give more and we value what the other person gives less. And that is why this law is difficult to apply. Murshid says that if people could actually apply properly that law, the law of reciprocity, the world would already be a better place. It is no use, he says, that people will become saints or sages. Or great luminous beings. If they can be fair in their dealings, that is already a lot. So, we need to be aware of maintaining balance. Before we go out in the world trying to heal everybody, thinking that we are healers, we need first to be aware of our limitations. We need first to be aware that maintaining a balance of fair transaction is the first step towards an evolution. That has the purpose of uniting with the One. That has the purpose of uniting with the One. So let us work with this balance. The balance between power and kindness. Between force and nobility. We need to be aware that both can get out of balance. That we can be too generous too kind too permitting. The same way we can be too forceful. Too powerful. Too aggressive. Let me write down the mosaic. We will work with Al-Jalil and Al-Karim. Al-Jalil is the glorious. The majestic, the magnificent. Al-Karim is the generous. The noble-minded, the charitable. Al-Jalil represents the force, the strength. The confidence that humans may have. That it can go off balance and can be too much. And this is where Al-Karim comes to offer kindness, deep empathy, and generosity, regardless of the response of the other. And that too can go too, can be too much and leave us unprotected. And this is where Al-Jalil comes. So we will recite Ya Jalil, Ya Karim. And let us begin. Ya Jalil, Ya Karim. 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 Amen. Fikr, inhale Jalil, exhale Karim. Υγρασία. Amen. Let us recite them one more time. We begin. Ya Jalil, Ya Karim. Ya Jalil. 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 Ya Karim. Ya Jalil, 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 Ya Karim. Amen. Fikr, inhale, Jalil, exhale, Karim. Υγρασία. Amen. Amen. Amen.